So hear these words from the Apostle Peter. May grace and peace be yours in abundance in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. We have come to lift up ourselves and our brothers and sisters before the Lord that we might receive healing. Let those who seek God's healing open their hearts to the Spirit of the Lord. The words of Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified.
To be over.
pray with me. If it's helpful to you, close your eyes and open your palms and put them palms up as an act of submission, not to me, but to the Spirit of the living God who is in this place right now. Lord Jesus Christ, you promised that you would send your Spirit, and you breathed, and your Spirit came. Lord, breathe into this place tonight. We come with all of our stories, individual stories, stories of a community, stories of a nation. Remembering a night many years ago now, but also with our own personal need for healing and hope and comfort. Lord, you are the great advocate, the great teacher, the great healer, the great comforter. Be in this place. Open up hard hearts even right now. Bring clarity to our minds so that we can see you. Bring an openness in our heart so that we can hear your whisper. Take us into deep places in our soul and take out what's there that blocks your work in us. And then, Lord, touch our bodies in ways that bring healing. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we can ask you for anything in your name. And you are good. You are so good. Be in this place, Spirit. Amen.
just sing out, Spirit of God.
Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters and restores my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
We're going to sing those words out here together. Surely love and mercy. Sing together.
Surely love and mercy, your peace and kindness.
surely love.
Surely love.
Love and mercy.
This morning I woke up and I didn't really want to go to the fitness center, but I did. And I'm glad I did, because as I walked up the stairs, one of the first things you can see is the Stairmaster, several of them, that torture machine, the pain where the stairs just keep coming. And I've left a few pounds on those Stairmasters, but today I couldn't get on them because there were two firemen, one on each of two of the Stairmasters. And they were dressed in full firefighting regalia with helmets and packs and those heavy jackets and the boots. And they were going to do 100-something flights, whatever, in honor of the fallen fireman who 17 years ago went up into the buildings to help people get out of the buildings. I don't know where you were on that September 11th, almost two decades ago, but I was headed downtown on the Eisenhower with my son. And I remember heading into downtown and you heard the first story of a plane. You thought, oh no, that's terrible. And as soon as you heard about the second one, didn't you say, okay, something's fishy here? And I was doing some work for a client on about the 30th floor of 333 North Michigan. It marks the spot of Fort Dearborn. It's this really iconic place in Chicago. And I went up in the elevators to that floor where I was doing some work, and the CEO hadn't gotten in yet. And I was looking for all the staff, because we were supposed to have a meeting, and they were in the conference room glued to a television set. And as soon as I saw the images, I thought, oh my goodness, the world has changed forever. And I wasn't the only one who thought that. And ultimately, we ended up having to go home because it spread throughout downtown that, well, you didn't want to be downtown. You didn't want to be anywhere near a high-rise building because maybe there were more. And it set terror in our hearts. It hurt. So we come to remember, but not just to remember the pain, but to remember the healing and the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, to remember that we're called to be agents of his grace in a world that has that kind of thing happening. And it's really good and fashionable and right and true to say, we will always remember, but it fades. I mean, if we're going to remember every painful event like, well, the Civil War, the Revolutionary War, Hiroshima, the Holocaust, the D-Day, Pearl Harbor, and we do. We try to keep up with that. There are actually memes that you can get that'll post those things for you so that all your friends will know that you remembered. But if we're going to remember all of those, we'll be here 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I mean, how far back in history do we need to go? Because, well, the truth is it goes all the way back to Cain and Abel, where this thing called violence took over and one brother took his brother's life. That's the point. But we are here to remember that in the midst of those ashes, there were brave souls who went in. There are stories of 3,000 lives. There are stories that all of us can tell. One of the things that is profound that I thought about today, I didn't have any grandkids then. Now I have 9. So somehow I have to tell them the story. How do I tell them the story in a way that's honest and true and fair and yet points them to Jesus Christ, not to anger, not to fear? That's a hard job. It's my job, your job, our job. So we need healing. But at the core of healing of a nation, of a city, of a family, is the healing of a person. And the healing of a person has to start with what's wrong. And the scripture has a word for it. It's a small word. It's a tiny, tiny little word. Sin. That I have this thing in me that on occasion reaches out and hurts someone like you, and you have it in you, and we have it in us. And Jesus came because of that, to destroy this thing that works in me. The Apostle Paul said, that thing that I don't want to do, I do it, and the thing that I want to do, I don't do that. Why is it? Because there's this war inside of me. That's the Apostle Paul. I was in seminary long before 9/11, and I had this wonderful professor who was a rabbi, and he had been in World War II. And I remember the first night he pulled up his sleeve and he showed us the number from Auschwitz. And he said he had lost something like 60 family members in the Holocaust. And when you're with a person like that, you just be quiet. You just be quiet, because he has something to say that needs to be heard. He said, Glenn, I remember going to Nuremberg where the war criminals were there, and I wanted to hate them. And I did, until I stood about 10 feet away from some of the worst, and I looked at them in the eyes, and I realized they looked just like me. And if the course of my life had been slightly different, maybe. And I began to weep, he said, because I realized that the line of darkness goes through every human heart. So we're not here to hold up one group of people and another group of people and say, you're bad, we're good. The truth is, this was an evil, 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 did I say evil thing that happened 17 years ago? Let's just name that. But you don't overcome evil with evil. You overcome evil with light. That's what I want to tell my 9 grandchildren. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you go out into the world with light. The light of hope, the light of faith, the light of love. Because I first look at this symbol, this cross, and I remember that the most horrible day in the world, as horrible as 9/11 was, as horrible as World War II or any, go ahead, name the litany, as horrible as any of those were, there was a really worse day. And it was a day that the Son of the Living God was nailed to a cross and hung in shame and yet looked out on that group that looked just like me and said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Profound that Jesus would enter our world, knowing full well that it's full of pain. Some of the words that you'll hear from Scripture tonight are written by New Testament authors who lived in a world where they had experienced their own 9/11, Many of the books of the New Testament are written after 70 AD. And in 70 AD, the temple was torn down. Imagine the Senate building and the White House and the towers and the Pentagon and all of that, the National Cathedral. Imagine all of that wiped out. And hundreds of thousands of your family members taken and killed. That's what many of the New Testament authors lived through, because the temple was torn down and ripped apart. So when you read these words, you're reading the words of people who know how to live through darkness. And all of them point to this cross and say, but somehow in Jesus I met someone who could face that with tenderness and compassion and truth and justice. And he calls us to go into a world, and the tools that he gives us are a towel. He says, pick up your towel and go out and wash feet. Bread, break bread, serve wine, invite them to the table. Model what it looks like to live in a community where there are differences of people. That's why it's a good thing to sort of face each other. You're looking at people who probably think differently than you on a whole host of issues. Welcome to the table of Jesus Christ. That we come tonight and the healing has to start in us. That we live in a strange and dangerous and hard and complicated and frustrating world. But Jesus calls us to draw close to the cross, to cling to the cross. Because the further away I get from that, the further I get from God's power. And I start to try to bring healing in my power. And when I do that, I fail. So tonight, we're going to offer up prayers and a memorial. And we're going to remember that day 17 years ago because we need to. But we need to remember that we live in a world, Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation. Fear not. I have overcome the world. It's a powerful thing, friends, to come to the cross of Jesus Christ and ask for healing. But it's in Christ that we are healed. Scripture says that it's by his stripes, the very painful lashes he took on his back, that we can find healing, that we find hope, that Jesus took pain for me so that he could offer healing to me. And we are stewards of both the hurt and the hope. We are stewards of the hurt. We embrace the hurt of the world like Jesus did. We say, we don't have all the answers, but come to us. Let me put an arm around you because I want to bring hope to you. We'll be stewards of the hurt and the hope. And it's in that that Jesus speaks and says, come to me, lay it down. My burden, it's not that heavy. My yoke, it's easier. Come to me, and I'll show you how to do that in this dark and strange world. Let me pray for us. Lord God, your cross is really the only hope. Strange, mysterious as that is, let us remember you. Let us remember those who fell. Let us remember those who caused this and ask for hope and for healing, because it's only going to come from you, not from me. Lord God, thank you for this community. Thank you for this night. Thank you for your light. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you follow along with me in this prayer and response offered up in remembrance of September 11th? We remember the first time we heard the news. We recall the first time we saw those images. We remember the way our thoughts and prayers were with those families who lost loved ones. Our thoughts and prayers are with them again today. O God of comfort, though the years have passed, you are faithful still. We remember those who survived. We recall their heartbreaking stories. We remember that their lives are forever scarred by those moments. Our thoughts and prayers are with them again today. O God of healing, though the years have passed, you are faithful still. We remember the pain we felt. We recall the bereavement and bitterness of the aftermath. We remember that you are a God of redemption and restoration. Help us forgive those who cause so much trauma, and that we may find release in that forgiveness. O God of forgiveness, though the years have passed, you are faithful still. We remember that you love the world. We recall you sent your Son to bring reconciliation and salvation. We remember your Spirit inhabits the church. Help us bring your comfort and peace to all. O God of hope, though the years have passed, you are faithful still. Would you pray with me? I'm going to guide us through a few areas of prayer. As I'm offering up some prayer in these areas, feel free to offer up your own silently or even voice them. That's okay. God can hear two of us talking at once. Let's pray. Lord God, you are the creator of the world. I pray big, bold prayers for this world, for world leaders, that you bring wisdom, that you bring truth, that you bring conviction. Lord, there are over 30-something wars on this planet right now. Lord God Almighty, your scripture is filled with promises that you will hold the nations accountable, that you will hold the kings and the queens of the earth to account for the way they've led. Lord, right now, move in the palaces and offices and parliaments and justice halls and senates. Move in the pentagons and the places of war. Move in ways that we cannot see, but only by the power of your Spirit can transformation come. Lord, we pray for our globe. Lord, we pray for our nation, the United States of America, which sometimes seems anything but united. And the truth is, all of us have some part in that. Lord God Almighty, fall on this nation. Lord, I pray from the top for our president. Your word commands us to pray. So I do. I pray for Donald Trump, that you bring humility, wisdom, a new heart. I pray for our Senate leaders on both sides. I pray for our Supreme Court. I pray for governors and senators and representatives in all of these 50 states. I pray for business leaders, entrepreneurs, CEOs, education leaders, healthcare leaders. Lord God Almighty, your word says if you have called to lead, then do it with diligence. Lord, we need leaders to step up and be humble and wise and thoughtful and good stewards. Lord, I pray for our nation. But Lord, we are a particular people. We live here in the land of Lincoln, in Illinois, and underneath all the yelling back and forth, this state is broken and it is hurting. Lord God Almighty, in this election season, bring some sort of truth and accountability on both sides of the aisle. Bring a truth and accountability to the media, to the press on all sides. Lord God, bring people together in communities to love and to care. Don't let it take another 9/11 for us to come together. Lord, I pray for the state of Illinois. Lord, we are people here in Naperville, in the western suburbs of Chicago. We come from Naperville and Bolingbrook and Oswego and Lyle and Woodridge and Wheaton and Romeoville and Aurora. Lord, we face tough challenges. The opioid crisis is tearing through our communities. This is National Suicide Awareness Month. Lord God, why do we have to be aware of that? Because it's a problem. Lord, we need healing. Your word says, if my people will humble themselves. Lord, Lord, I pray for our families. We come tonight with families that maybe there's hurt. Maybe there's anger. Maybe there's fear. Maybe there's division. Maybe there's a weariness. Lord, I pray for our families because your Spirit has to move in our families before it can move out into the community. Lord God, I pray for us as individuals. It starts with me. I need to offer love. I need to be more forgiving. I need to show mercy. I need to speak truth. I need to be humble. And too often I am not. Lord, by the power of your cross, bring healing to us as individuals and families in our local area, in the state of Illinois and the United States, and to all the peoples of this earth, by the power of the Spirit, to the glory of the Father, in the strong name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Before we do this prayer of confession, would you bow with me one more time? There is a group that I neglected to pray for and I don't want to neglect. So would you pray with me one more time? Lord God Almighty, I lift up our men and women in uniform around the world who are in harm's way. Having been in one of those uniforms, I know that they need to know that they are loved and cared for wherever they are. Lord, tonight I pray for our police. I would not want to be a policeman in this world. And yet many of them go and serve. Lord, I pray for firemen, for emergency medical technicians, for ambulance drivers, for first responders. Thank you, Lord God, for people who, whether they know it or not, are living out what you said was the greatest love, that they would lay down their lives for us. Lord, I thank you for people in schools and hospitals and those first line folks with our kids. I pray a special blessing. Spirit of God. Spirit of God. Thank you for all these people who are willing to serve. Amen. Let us open our hearts, our minds, and our souls to the one who loves us without condition, trusting that we will receive his grace and mercy. Now we lift up silent prayers of confession before God. You don't need me to go between you and God. You can speak directly to God right now. Whatever's on your heart, lift it up to God. Now, dear brothers and sisters, friends, hear the good news. God so loved this world that he sent Jesus to us, not to condemn the world, but in order that we might be saved, healed, and forgiven through him.
And create a pure heart.
From the scriptures, from the letter of James to the church, we read these words from chapter 5. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other, pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. As your holy apostles anointed many who were sick and healed them, so pour out your Holy Spirit on us and on this gift, that those who in faith and repentance receive this anointing may be made whole through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So a couple of words of instruction for the next part of our service. This has been our kind of corporate response, where together as a community, we lift up prayers and song together. Based on this passage in James, we're going to offer some opportunities for individual interaction and prayer. Let me make sure that I've got it right. If it's helpful to you and meaningful to you, we have a whole stage front filled with candles. If you'd just like to go up there and stand there and meditate for a minute and light a candle or two or three in the name of someone and just let that be your prayer, great. Make your way on up there after this next reflection song and light a candle and pray in whatever way is helpful to you. If you want to interact with a couple of different ways, over at this station, there's a cross. There are some Band-Aids. You can write out a prayer request and take the Band-Aid and put it on the cross, symbolic of, Lord, we need your healing power that flows from the cross. There are some stones over on this side with some markers. You can go over and mark on the stone a promise that God has put on your heart, a request. Take that stone with you as a commemorative night. Many times in the scriptures, people would mark the place where they had met God with stones, with an altar. Let that be your personal altar tonight. If you'd like to have someone anoint you with oil and just offer a blessing over you, there will be a couple of people here in this center. You can come and receive a blessing and be anointed with oil. If you'd like someone to pray specifically for a specific need, I will be back in that corner with the prayer team. And if you'll come back there and just say, my name is, and I'd like you to pray for, and you don't have to be more specific than pray for my, and fill in the blank, however you want to do that. And we'd love to lay a hand on you, nothing weird. It's just a good Lutheran hand on your shoulder. And it's not my hand that does the work, it's the hand of God. But these symbols help us understand what God is doing. And then over in that corner, there's communion. For those of you that would like to serve communion to one another or take communion, maybe you're here with a spouse or a friend or a small group, and you can interact with as many of these stations as you'd like. I would just ask that you just take your time and do it in some quiet and reflection. We'll be singing throughout. You can spend as much time in this room as you'd like. You can interact with the stations in a few minutes and then leave. But if you're going to leave, just ask that you do it quietly. I would challenge you not to leave too quickly. Let's stay in the room for a little while and let people experience life in community. But interact with all these stations. God loves all these symbols. The book of Revelation says that right in front of the throne of God are bowls of incense with all the prayers of God's people. Let's add to the bowls of incense tonight. Let's say, Lord, we need you in whatever way you came needing God to touch you tonight. Let's sing. Too far.
grateful for the homeless and all those who stray. Come sit at the table and taste the grace. There's rest for the weary, a rest that endures. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can't cure.
Bless my soul.
my Savior, I come to Thee. He is a Savior who is calling. He is a Savior sent from heaven above. He
thank you.
Yes, I thank you. Christ is.